Welcome to the Walking Dead UK podcast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC and Fox. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. We're back again with the Season 10 premiere. Of course, last week we did a Season 10 preview podcast, which you should still go and listen to, I think, as well. But yeah, Season 10, Episode 1, Lines We Cross. It's the Season 10 premiere. Double digits, we're there now. What did you think of the Season 10 premiere?
I enjoyed it. A very interesting opening start. You're like, what the hell is this? Yeah, it was a really interesting opener, sort of very cold kind of open. And yeah, you did kind of wonder where they were going to go with it. But I rather like the way it was kind of put together, because you got to see the same thing from like two or three different angles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they started off doing it, you know, with following one bit of the group and then another bit of another group and then another group. So you kind of everybody got a fairly reasonable amount of time, you know, and you got to catch up with everybody. It was a nice way of kind of coming back in, I thought.
Yeah, it was good for that, I think. It was a good sort of coming back episode, and you can kind of see with you know how last season we came back and it was like, sure, we're going to give everybody screen time, but there was a particular focus on Rick. They're doing the same thing this season, but with Michonne, she has like quite a large amount of screen time in this episode. And it makes sense if she's going to be in. I mean, we still don't know how many episodes she's in for the season, because they were quite sort of vocal about, you know, literally doing a countdown of Rick's episodes last year, like three episodes left. But we don't know how many Michonne's got left, so I guess we'll see in the coming weeks when that happens or whatever. But a bit of focus on her, and you know, it's no problem to focus on Michonne. Great character, very well acted by Danai Gurira again in the episode, of course. Couple of things I think are a bit of time wasters. I think you guys could probably guess what those are going to be, and obviously we'll discuss them as we get into more of the episode. Just to do with the whole Rosita stuff and all that, I just think is not going to work out too well. And I can't see that stuff working out well. But yeah, an interesting focus on, the Grimes, I suppose you can say, because RJ's in this episode more than
he's been, RJ.
So that was great. Just having a conversation with Judith and, you know, the mother Michonne is there and everything. A good kind of start. And I was interested in the amount of focus that Oceanside get in this episode as well. Of course, with the really good set piece of them in kind of formation. So that was cool as well. And lots of focus on like bow and arrows, crossbows, spears, those sorts of things. I mean, you've got Daryl and Carol in this episode a lot, and they're of course using bolts in a sense, bolts and arrows, with Carol and Daryl. But then you've got, I think Magna or someone's using like a bow and arrow, and then you've got lots of people using spears and stuff. So, gonna be interesting to see, you know, what weapons they use and stuff going forward. But yeah, interesting opening episode, I thought. And, of course, we'll discuss more as we get into the notes. But, that's kind of all I got for the pre-talk. So let's take a quick break here. We'll go into some housekeeping and stuff, and then we'll come back and talk about all the rest of the episode. So we'll see you in a minute. And some news as well, some fairly big news. So actually, we should talk about that here in the pre-talk, I suppose. Walking Dead's been renewed for Season 11. You can tell my surprise by the tone of my voice. it's kind of like, okay, this is renewed until we tell you it's not. Kind of thing. We know this show's long term for AMC. We know this show's long term in terms of, I mean, we're still not actually caught up to the book, so in terms of content and the story that's left to be told, you've still at least got that much, if not more, depending on, you know, what AMC decides to do in a few years time, because it's still going to take at least a few more years to catch up to the books, or not even catch up to them, just to get up to where they finished, of course. To renew for Season 11, obviously October 2020, that will probably happen. Lauren Cohen is returning as Maggie in late Season 10. There was some some different tweets out about there about different things. Because when they first tweeted it, it was Walking Dead renew for Season 11 and Lauren Cohen returning. And I automatically thought, okay, she's returning for Season 11. And then a few hours later, because of course they were doing, was it New York Comic Con?
Yes.
And then a few hours later, it was Lauren Cohen's returning for Season 10. So, interesting stuff there.
Yeah, I think it will be late Season 10 if she shows up. It may be a case of, you know, she could be the final shot of the series for all we know. Mm. I mean, you know, you'd think they are still shooting, but if she can't be in that many episodes if they're announcing it now, unless they've been keeping her hidden away on set.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
So, you know, she can't be in any of the earlier ones, because you would have thought it would have been leaked by now. Right. if that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Show. Yeah. So you know, I suspect it's probably late, you know, second half of season 10 if she's going to show up, and it might not be that many episodes, but it sounds like she is permanently back, yes. Or at least for you know, whether it's not much in this season and then fully back next season, I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah, at the earliest, probably like the mid-season premiere, maybe, and at the latest, obviously, the season finale, like as a, hey, I'm back kind of thing. Yeah, kind of an interesting surprise. We knew it was a possibility, but they never clearly... It was always like in the summer, you know, the Whiskey Cavaliers cancelled, and she, like, oh, could Lauren come back? And it was a possibility, but they never until recently clearly said, like, okay, she's coming back. So, I mean, because we'd heard as well, like, oh, she might be having talks with Angela Kang and this and that, but it's now been confirmed. So, yeah, good to have characters returning instead of leaving, because we've had enough of that in the last season or two.
Yes!
So that's great as well. So yeah, we'll see what she does when she comes in, and of course a certain Dante is here now as well to meet her later. We'll talk about him obviously in a bit, but yeah, interesting stuff. Let us know obviously what you think, and yeah, let's take a break, get into housekeeping, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the episode, including some satellites. We'll see you in a minute. Today's sponsor is Kualu. If you'd like to get started with a domain name and a website today, just click on the link in the show notes and that will take you over to Kualu to get started. They also have a live support chat system that you can use, which is in the bottom right hand corner. So get started with a new website and domain name today with Kualu. Hey everybody, if you would like to get the ad-free versions of all of our podcasts and support Entertainment Talk along the way, all you need to do is head over to patreon.com/entertainmenttalk, sign up either as a creator or as a Patreon, there's no difference there. That's just the option for either becoming a creator now or just staying as a patron for the moment. And then all you need to do is support us at the $1 level tier. That will get you access to all of the ad-free podcasts that we've done in the past, and get you access to all the ad-free podcasts in that month as well. So it's a great way to support us on Entertainment Talk and to get rid of the ads and get your ad-free podcasts. You can also become a patron at the $3 level tier. That gets you access to ad-free podcasts and allows you to redeem a review of a TV show or a film of entirely your choice. That's one per month for either a TV show or a film review, which is at the $3 level tier. As always, thank you very much for listening. Back to the show. Alright, recently on Entertainment Talk, I'm of course continuing to cover The Good Place, the good stuff for Season 4 and everything. I cut out a particular part that I did in the podcast where I discussed comparing Jason and Phoebe. Jason from Good Place and Phoebe from Friends, because they're similar in certain ways. And also kind of discussed, you know, what about if they met and had a conversation? So I cut that out as like a little piece as well. Of course, you can listen to that in its individual segment, or it's also in the episode 2 review. So if you want to listen to the whole thing, just listen to the episode 2 for season 4 review. So that's in there. But yeah, it probably never happened, but that could be interesting as well. So In the Tall Grass, which is a film that some people might not know about, is on Netflix. It's from adapted from a book by Stephen King, so not a small name. So if you haven't heard of it and you're a Stephen King fan, or you've read the book, or you're just curious about films or whatever, go and check it out on Netflix. It's only an hour and 40 minutes, well paced, all that good stuff. Of course, spoiler free and spoiler split in terms of the review, so have a look out for that. Yeah, good film. Go and listen to the review for that. Man United lost away to Newcastle. Things are just really not looking good at the moment. There's a bit of a break. Man United are coming back next on the 20th of October to play Liverpool, so that's going to not be fun in a couple of weeks, because there's an international break, but I won't be covering that, of course. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that stuff. Not good at the moment. Let's Play Sundays, of course, if you want some fun stuff to listen to or watch from me. Let's Play Sundays episode 9 was for the Medieval demo. This is going to be the remake slash remaster of the 1990 something.
You know, game. Just Slight side point, I went to school with the guy that wrote the music for that.
You've told me that before. Yeah, when they announced the game two years ago, I think it was in 2017 when they announced the remaster. But yeah, you can go and play. This is for the demo, by the way, the Let's Play. You can go and download the demo, of course, for free. And if you like what you play from the demo, the game's out on the 25th of October. So yeah, look out for that. And it's only on PS4. So yeah, that's all that stuff. So you can go and check that out. It's a good place, of course, Season 4, Episode 2, that's continuing as well on Friday. So continue to look out for new Good Place episodes, both review and the episodes on Fridays or Thursday if you're in America. Of course, speaking of Thursdays, which is also aired on Wednesdays, American Horror Story still continuing for Season 9. Things are at a good, make sense kind of point with the season. Season 9, Episode 3, Slash Dance, which was last week's episode. Of course, there'll be another episode, tomorrow. So have a look out for that as well for Season 9, Episode 4, which will be tomorrow. Man United drew away to AZ Alkmaar. You might not have even heard of that team. Sean Layden has left Sony and thus PlayStation as well. This was from last week's Random Gaming Talk podcast. I talked about FIFA 20's broken career mode. And we got more details as well from The Last of Us 2. Not just from the trailer, we got more information the following week, which was last week, about some more Last of Us 2 stuff. Of course, Walking Dead Season 10 preview. And yeah, that's what we've been doing at the moment on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Of course, the DC shows are back in the next couple of weeks. At least some of them are. So look out for the podcast.
It's a whole thing. Yes. Right.
Yes. Look out for the podcast on at least Flash and Arrow. Look out for those in the next coming weeks. That's what we've been doing on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. I put this as its own little separate note, and I simply wrote down, a satellite flies towards the Earth.
Yes.
What were you thinking at that particular moment?
You're looking at it going, well, this is interesting. I don't know. I kind of... because it was very sort of space age and you didn't quite get what it was at first, and then I think it pans past and you see the Soviet symbol on it and you're like, oh, okay. So I kind of guessed it was probably going to crash because I can't see what else they were going to do with it. But yes,
right, the show's not going to go to space. So.
No, it kind of pulls you out slightly in that opening. But just an interesting way to introduce something new and remind you that there is a wider kind of world outside this, area that they're in at the moment. And I mean, of course, we have got lots of things coming up which are really going to expand this whole world. But right. Yeah, I thought it was quite a nice different opener that kind of makes you look and go, think about that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of that, it has to be something that interacts with the group on the ground and not in space. Because, and it was interesting because I'd heard some little bits and pieces about, like, something to do with space. And I was like, oh, it's just some, I was assuming at the time I'd read some sort of clickbait thing or something or whatever. Because people like to make stuff up and get you to click on the websites. You see it and I'm like, huh, this is kind of... It was really just out of nowhere because it's the first thing you see in the Season 10 premiere after, months of being off the air.
Yeah.
And you wonder about what it is. So I had, basically the same feeling as you. And it was kind of a quick little, here's this satellite. Okay, we're going to cut away. So,
yeah.
A little bit of a note about this satellite. According to showrunner Angela Kang, the idea of using a satellite was part of the writing team's take on trying to keep the show fresh. It was used both to show how the longer term effects of the apocalypse have affected other parts of society. A long forgotten satellite falling out of orbit with no one to monitor it, obviously that would be a big thing, and helped to introduce technology that would be become part of the season's arc, certainly part of Eugene's arc, as we see him insist to Michonne later in the episode. Which makes sense. He's the kind of science-y guy in our group, kind of the only one as well. So
pretty much, yeah.
That makes sense. Gives him more to do. I mean, it makes sense. Like in terms of because in terms of what we've seen for like 9 seasons, we've not really had much really outside of where we've currently seen the characters, whether it would be in Atlanta at the start or Georgia where they are now. Of course, we've gone to the sea, obviously, with Oceanside and stuff, but I'm talking about, like, literally outside of any of those close sort of areas, and this is obviously going even further than that, because it's going, obviously, into space and stuff, so an interesting way for them to do stuff. I'm glad that we kind of had, let's say we had gone 3 episodes and you show us a shot every episode of this satellite in the sky, it would have continued to make no sense. I'm glad that at least in this first episode, like, sure, it crashed into... the characters nearby, and they kind of have the chance to investigate it straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's so much better than, like...
What we've referred to as gimbal pacing, I think.
just showing bits every now and again. We see it once, we see it teased once, and then obviously, like you said, from a different character's perspective, we see it kind of crash different times or whatever. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yeah, this isn't a thing from the comic book, and that's I mean, not everything has to be obviously from the book, and something
quite happened, a lot of it so. Isn't at this right. point. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting stuff. We'll see what obviously Yuji makes of it, and we'll see if we can understand what he tries to tell us in the coming weeks. So, yeah, interesting way to start the season. Let's move on to the next piece. The harsh winter has long since passed, and the collective communities continue to thrive. Because the Whisperers have kind of, yeah, there's been no signs of the Whisperers, and there is a split on opinions on what this means. Some, like Michonne and Daryl, fear they will return, obviously. And others, order others to respect the line, the boundary thing that's been set, which you should obviously do. Others, like Carol, believe the Whisperers have disappeared and thus should not fear crossing this territory. But others respect the orders of Michonne and everybody else. So, yeah, what do you think of the whole, I suppose, you know, should we cross this border, shouldn't we? I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Alpha's already said, like, hey, before I even set this border, I'm going to show you why you shouldn't cross it, because I've just beheaded, like, 12 or 15 people. So she's given the, like, the, well, not even the warning, the thing from it, and then said, okay, you know, if you cross our border, this is what we're capable of, sort of thing. So I like the way around that's done, as opposed to, okay, we got this border, we might do something, and if you cross it, you'll find out what that is. You already know what that is. So what do you think of that?
I mean, it's interesting. I love the ideas with the Whisperers that they kind of migrated south for the winter, you know. It sort of makes them feel more animalistic, which I think is interesting. And even when we see Alpha later on, there is a certain kind of, you know, coming out of hibernation feel to that. So I rather like how they've handled that, in that, you know, the idea is that they are a tribe, and, you know, they do what tribal people that live in those sort of areas have done in the past. You know, if they will settle in one particular area when it's summer, and they will migrate to a different area when it's winter. So there is a sort of, I mean, obviously animals do that, but human communities used to have to do that in, you know, in when we used to live in forests all the time and that sort of thing. So I quite like that sort of idea that they set up, and, you know, there's this harsh winter and the Whisperers have gone, and these, you know, and then you've got this argument about, well, have they gone, haven't they gone, are they there or are they not? And I get the point of, you know, there are boundaries and you respect the boundaries, because we've seen what happens if you don't respect the boundaries. I think you're naive to think that they've all disappeared, and, you know, there is this kind of this tension hanging over them all the time of whether they're going to come back or not. And I think it's one of those things, because from the Whisperer's point of view, you kind of think, well, you know, yes, what they did was harsh, but they've set very clear boundaries of this is our turf, that's yours, you stay on your side of the line, we'll stay on ours, everything's fine. So, you know, that's the sort of idea. And if you kind of leave things alone, technically that should work. Of course they don't, but I'm really interested to see more of the Whisperer group, because we saw little bits and pieces last season, but I'm interested to see a bit more of them, and it looks like we're going to get a lot more background to them this year, which is nice.
It's interesting when you think about the Whisperers in terms of they really don't have a lot of, well, stuff. Like, they don't really have, because we've seen them last season when their base is just places in the woods. Like, they don't have an Alexandra, they don't have like the prison or anything. They don't have a home in that sort of way. So, I mean, they don't even have, like, they just don't really have stuff. And in terms of, you know, them having to survive in the winter, they do still have to do that because, you know, I mean, they're still people at the end of the day and stuff like that. So they do still have to do that. So that's the thing that you have to kind of, I mean, consider in the show, like what the different characters kind of have to do. Because in terms of the villains that we've met previously, obviously Negan had his place, the governor had his place, and all that sort of stuff. And they were just more similar to our main group, who have always had. I mean, they've been on the road at times and had to survive on the road, which is basically what the Whisperers are doing all the time, because they don't really have a base. So yeah, it kind of makes sense that they would have to do that. So,
but the difference is with the Whisperers, they've chosen that life. They've chosen to do it that way. They think that is the way to move forward, you know, to live in a tribal sort of way and live off the land and migrate around. Whereas, you know, our group and a lot of the other groups are looking to the life that was and trying to set up communities and doing it that way. So as a sort of argument to which way might make more sense. But I think it's kind of interesting because it does make them very different to the groups that we've seen before.
Mm. Yeah, which was one of the things I was excited to see, obviously, on screen, how you adapt that sort of thing. So where are we here? The collective communities have started training an army against the walkers at Oceanside. Of course, this is all the stuff at sea and everything, all the stuff near the seaside or whatever,
beach.
Oceanside. However, during one exercise, they find a Whisperer walker mask washed ashore and fears about the Whisperers spread to the communities. I want to just pause there and talk about this training thing. That was a really, really cool montage with like Jerry and Ezekiel opening and closing the door. Obviously, the wall kind of falls off after a bit. But them kind of having this formation stuff, and Aaron's there at the front, Michonne's there at the front, and I think Magna is as well, and, you know, some of the other characters. And just the way you kind of have like the shield that they have, and they're throwing like spears and shooting arrows over the top, and very kind of like Sparta-esque. That sort of thing.
Well, it's Roman, actually.
Right,
I mean, it's the shields are very Roman. If you've actually ever watched there's an old HBO series called Rome, which I urge you to go and watch. It's fabulous. But there is a sequence in the opening of that which shows the formation of you know, the Roman armies fighting it. It's very, very similar to that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, given that Rome ruled for however many ridiculous amount of years, and they were one of the strongest military forces at the time because of that, the way that they fought and that technology, it sort of makes sense if you're going to be going back to using spears and bows and arrows that you use a sort of Romanesque formation to do that. But yeah, the whole sort of opening and closing of and the shield wall and that sort of thing. There are other people like Vikings use these shield walls as well, but that's a very kind of Romanesque shield wall that I had there. And it's really interesting to see them going back to that. Somebody obviously is being reading books about ancient Rome who's kind of come up with the idea of that, I think. But yeah, I really liked seeing that. I thought it was a really dynamic sequence, you know, of them training. It works really, really well, and shows that the communities are kind of coming together and are organized, and they are potentially quite dangerous in a fight, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I don't know how bulletproof those things are if we go up against people with guns, but I guess the shields are probably fairly good.
Yeah, they would at least last a little while, I think, against bullets and whatnot. But in terms of just, you know, shielding walkers off and all that sort of thing. And then I liked every now and then when, you know, someone would, like, separate or whatever, and someone would come through with a spear or sword or whatever.
Yeah.
And kill the walkers, like, I think Michonne does it once or twice, and Judith does it once, and then you get there was a lot of slow motion, like cutting scenes with Michonne in this episode where she's like cutting walkers' heads off and stuff like that. Again, them trying to make the most of Danai before she leaves, of course. Again, makes sense, and she's a main character anyway. So
yeah,
Do you think we'll see more of this season, or do you think this was a like just for this thing? Although if it was
thing,
it doesn't quite make sense that they would train for all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether we're going to see big battles in the same way that we have before. I kind of get the feeling that the Whisperers probably aren't going to fight in that sort of way. They feel more like a kind of guerrilla warfare type of group, the Whisperers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether we're going to see any more kind of big battles set up in this way. I'd like to see more of it, because I'd like to see them actually using that in practice, you know, not just in a training exercise. Whether that's to get up against a group of walkers or whether that's up against the Whisperers, I don't know. But it's interesting to see. I would like to see more of it. coming.
It would actually be a bit of a waste if it was just for that one scene.
Yeah.
And for, waste for the characters as well, because it looks like they've been practicing this at least for some time. You don't just do something like that and do it first time. Sorry.
No.
Yeah, we'll see if there's any more of it. It was pretty good. Scouting parties are sent out to check along the territory boundaries to see if there are any signs of walkers, but none are found. Daryl and Carol form another party, and Carol expresses her desire to leave on her own, causing Daryl and her to have an argument. So yeah, this whole Daryl, Carol, she wants to do this exploring on the boat thing, and Daryl kind of doesn't want her to go or whatever, or that sort of thing, and he makes the joke a little bit later in the episode about, like, you know, I'm going to make holes in the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that, because I didn't kind of anticipate this, but it's an interesting way to look at things. You know how I mentioned the whole Michonne boat thing? I wonder if this is going to be the same boat that's, again, Michonne might not leave on a boat. I don't know how she might leave, but I'm just... like I said in the preview, in terms of she goes off for a little bit on a boat just after the war with Negan, and they could use the same plot to give her an exit from the show, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of interested and surprised to see, okay, Carol's the one that's using this. She's gone off for a bit, and she wants to do a bit of exploring, but she's not going to be the character that actually leaves the show. It's going to be Michonne instead. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, I think I'd forgotten about that, but yes, you know, as you were talking about in the preview, it makes sense now that they've brought back Oceanside, you know, because we didn't see much of Oceanside at all last season.
No.
And it's sort of nice that they opened there, and the fact that, as you mentioned in the comic books, Michonne leaves via boat. So we still don't know exactly what is the impetus to get her to leave. I'm still betting on they get news about Rick, and that's the thing that makes her head off. And it would sort of make sense that, you know, if she does, you know, maybe it is Maggie coming back, and she's heard something, and Maggie comes back and tells Michonne that she knows that Rick's alive, and Michonne leaves. Maybe it's that transition that happens. We don't know. Mm-hmm. In which case, you know, it would sort of make sense to maybe, you know, her disappearing off on a boat somewhere. But we'll see.
Yeah, one thing that kind of makes sense along the same lines is this helicopter group that's been teased across the three shows, basically. I mean, the other show hasn't even started yet, and we've already seen
yeah.
The second Walking Dead spin-off, the third show, which has been nicknamed Walking Dead 3 at the moment. That won't be what it's actually called, because that doesn't sound right. But this new Walking Dead spin-off that's already got, like, Easter eggs to this helicopter group.
Yes.
I wonder if at some point that, because we just, I mean, that's the helicopter that Rick left in, wasn't it? If they get some sort of radio message about, like, it doesn't have to be from Jadis or from Rick, it could just be from some random person from that group, because we don't really know, like, who's in that group or whatever. A message from there, maybe Eugene gets it on the radio, he tells Michonne, then she goes off and leaves. It could kind of be as simple as that, like, hey, we've
it could be, yeah,
we've got Rick Grimes, because you could, of course, name drop him. There's no reason you can't say, like, hey, we've got Rick Grimes, and like, what do you want us to do or something, and then Michonne says, hey, I'm gonna go and find him or whatever. So
yeah,
that could be the case. Again, we're just kind of guessing what might happen, but I mean, something has to line up eventually. And the one of the things that kind of would make sense now that I'm thinking about it is because Carol's got this desire to kind of explore a bit more, and obviously she already kind of has because she came back on the boat. If I wonder if, like, because at the moment, isn't, like, Ezekiel and Carol aren't actually in a relationship at the moment. I wonder if they have some kind of spark again after the Michonne thing, because we know him and Michonne kiss at some point in the trailer, and obviously that happens in the season. I wonder if that's like a really, obviously it's a really temporary relationship. Rick thing comes in of some kind, and then her and Ezekiel have like a spark again, Carol and Ezekiel, and then she decides to stay because of him, maybe.
Maybe that's possible.
Again, we'll see how all this works out. So, but it might be within the next couple of episodes, we'll have to see. So, Lydia is trying to learn how to read, and clearly still, understandably, is distraught about Henry, because, you know, that's a very bad thing that happened to him. She leaves the room because no one kind of wants her there, and everybody's sort of saying, like, oh, you know, what's she doing here? We don't trust her, obviously. Makes sense that they don't, of course. So, Negan is being his comedic self and discusses with Lydia about being like the enemy, essentially. And he's picking tomatoes in the field.
Yes.
Which is kind of funny. See, even with something as basic as picking tomatoes, Jeffrey Dean Morgan still manages to make Negan not only funny but charismatic and all that sort of stuff. Which he's done since season 6, episode 16.
Yeah, since day one, pretty much, yeah.
Right. Yeah. What do you make of Lydia's situation, I suppose?
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they use Lydia over the coming seasons and where she ends up being in terms of a stand-in for some of the other characters we've lost, possibly. But it makes sense that her and Negan maybe have some sort of connection, because she's very much an outsider. He's obviously very much still an outsider and not trusted.
Yeah.
She's not trusted. The pair of them together would make a reasonable, like, sort of connection, you would have thought. So I think that makes perfect sense. I'm interested to see what they do with her and whether they do, like, connect those two up a bit more. It's going to be good to see, hopefully, Negan do more this season other than just picking tomatoes. I mean, at least he's out of the cell. That's something for most of it, you know.
He'll probably come eventually, so
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's interesting with Lydia as well, because a lot of older characters in the show have kind of adopted lots of children at different points, like Henry was adopted by Carol and Ezekiel, and then now Lydia has kind of been adopted by Carol, wasn't she, at the end of last season?
I can't remember.
So
yes,
she was
possibly
being referred to as like a daughter in a certain way. So if obviously Carol would see hopefully Lydia as some kind of daughter, and there's people in Hilltop in Alexandria that aren't comfortable with Lydia being there, I wonder what Carol would have to say about that particular situation.
Well, exactly.
And what Ezekiel would have to say about that, and even people like Daryl and like Michonne and everybody like that. So because I mean Negan's not being allowed to have as much voice as those characters would in terms of that argument of like, okay, where does Lydia fit in here? Does she belong here? Does she not? I'm sure Carol would come in and say like, hey, look, she's decided to be on our side. You all have to accept that. Obviously she'd say that in her own way, but how all that's going to kind of work out. Cause the looks that she was getting given when she was in that room and stuff, and like, she's struggling to read and stuff like that. And she's like not seeing the point as much, of course. How all of that's going to work out with the major characters that I just mentioned. So we'll see. It's going to be obviously some disagreement. So we get next a montage of Gabriel, Sadiq, Eugene, and Rosita. Eugene is measuring the body's baby like a science experiment, from Rosita's words herself. Rosita tells him to stop. Dante is introduced and claims that doctors are like gods in the apocalypse. Sadiq is also having what I labeled as PTSD flashbacks of Alpha's attack.
Yeah.
What do you make of this plot line? So,
well, I rather like the kind of silliness. It was a nice bit of kind of lightheartedness with Eugene treating the baby like a kind of experiment of measuring and doing all the charts and then presenting them to Sadiq as some sort of like a lecture, and you could see Sadiq going, well, I will take it. I don't know whether I'll use any of it, but I'll take it. I rather like that. It was silly, but I think it's a nice bit of lightheartedness to kind of go in there, and it's such a Eugene thing to do, so I was all right with that. I actually thought that was quite funny. It's difficult to grasp exactly what's going to happen with that kind of whole relationship and the child and what they're trying to do with those characters. I was fine, and it was interesting to catch up with them, but I have no idea where they're going with all that. And I thought the introduction of Dante was a little swift,
It was just like,
Here's Dante.
He's just here.
Have we seen this guy before? I don't remember him from what I. Yeah, I kind of. Yeah, I. It was a bit sort of out of nowhere, that. So, I mean, fine. It's another good-looking character in there, and I'm sure there'll be some use for him. But
I mean, we need doctors. So
yeah,
we've had enough of them die in the past.
Yes. Being a doctor on this show is never usually a long-term prospect. So.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you make of the admittedly little we've seen of Dante so far?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of arrogant, cocky. The whole sort of, you know, we're like gods in the apocalypse sort of thing, which, I mean, arguably is true, but...
Lots of injuries.
Yeah, lots of injuries, and, you know, if you can mend people, you're pretty much, you know, you're always going to be wanted somewhere. So there is a certain amount of truth to that, but it's a little kind of arrogant, and I don't know... Yeah, as I say, doctors don't tend to last long, so we'll see whether they've introduced him just to kill him off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, seems like cocky, kind of charmer kind of character, which is intriguing. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Can you envision him with Lauren Cohan's Maggie?
Possibly. I mean, it's very different from somebody like Glenn, who is quite kind of sweet and
different person, yeah.
You know, very, very different personality. And maybe that sort of makes sense. We don't know what Maggie's going to be like when she comes back. And she's obviously a very different person since Glenn died as well. Mm-hmm. So he's the type of sort of arrogant, cocky guy that would not fear being knocked back too much. So if like Lauren... You know, if Maggie shows up and he tries it on and she kicks him back, he's not going to take that rejection as being kind of, you know, him completely backing off. You know, so we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, because I know in the comic books there were a couple, so we'll see whether that happens on screen as well. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen so little of him, it's difficult to tell at the moment.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in the book, it does take. Let's just say it takes a little bit of him trying to get that relationship to actually happen.
Yeah,
and it is a little bit funny at certain points, but then it gets to like, okay, maybe they could be a thing. So it will take. How many episodes it will take? Because I've tried to guess the pacing of the show before, and we've been wrong, of course, in the past. but we'll see. I mean, she's got to come back into the show at least first, and that's not going to be probably to at least the second half of the season. So. It's going to be a little bit of time, but it's something that's in obviously the very, very early stages. We've only just met him. Lauren, Maggie's not back. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, interesting to start the bits and pieces for him. And in terms of the stuff that he does, he's kind of just another, I mean, he's a doctor, so that's obviously important. But outside of that, it's basically just he's a doctor. He eventually has a relationship with Maggie, and that's about it, at least from what I remember. So.
Right.
That's that. So, interesting stuff. I mean, my thoughts on the Gabriel Sadiq stuff. I just think that you could give all four of these actors something better to do, I suppose. And in terms of you know, some people might say, okay, how was this handled in the books? Let's just say the baby doesn't quite make it this far. So
right.
That's that. So
okay.
It doesn't get to this point. So in terms of like how is it going to work out from the book side, it doesn't get this far. So it's all kind of in the show's, you know, in terms like it's their own original take on it, I suppose, because they have to do it, write it from scratch. So because they've not got that part of the material to work with. So there's that. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Obviously, it might get to a point where I have to kind of get used to Eugene just being this weird character. I mean, we kind of know he is, but like, you never quite know what he was going to do kind of thing. I mean, we know he was going to kind of be heavily involved with the baby, but we couldn't have really guessed that, like, okay, he's going to measure this baby's feet and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we'll see what he does. Again, Seth Gilliam, he's not being used probably in this show, but that's another thing that I might have to kind of get used to, because he's been in the show since, what, season 5? Father Gabriel? And he's not ever really been used to quite the degree he does get used in The Wire. And I'm not expecting thing, but just do something different with him. And, you know, I've still got season 4 and 5 of The Wire to watch, so I guess I've got that to look forward to.
Yes.
Let's move on to across the communities they all witness fireballs falling from the sky, which is not something you see every day, into the nearby forest. Within the Whisperer's boundaries, over radio, the communities agree that if they do not put out the fire, it will spread and threaten the communities, and firefighting teams are sent to put the fire out. As they put the fire out, they find that the fallen object is an old Soviet satellite. After a brief encounter with walkers drawn by the fire, because they got the fire to deal with, they got these walkers to deal with, and all sorts of things. And they've not really quite got the equipment to actually fight this fire, necessarily. So they got a lot of challenge on their hands. The walkers are drawn by the fire. The fire is extinguished, and Michonne orders everyone to leave immediately. But Eugene insists they need to recover the satellite for any technology that might help them. Michonne reluctantly agrees. Let's pause there. So, yeah, a busy scene for everybody involved. I mean, everybody's kind of got to be there. And it was interesting to see what kind of things that they would use. Obviously, they've not really got fire extinguishers or hoses or anything like that. At least not enough of them. And you're seeing them use, like, different equipment, basically. What do you think of, I guess, this set piece?
Yeah, I mean, I quite like this. And it was always interesting because there was going to be this threat of, well, they know the Whisperers are back. Are they going to kind of show up whilst they're trying to tackle this fire? But right, then it's one of those things that you kind of think that even Alpha would kind of look at it and go, well, you know, if the forest burns down, that's not going to do any of us any good. So let them deal with it, sort of thing. Because they must have seen the satellite come down as well, and they must have seen the fire spread. So you kind of think, well, maybe she's okay with them going over and dealing with it. Maybe that's fine, because I don't think she's going to have a huge amount of interest in the technology anyway. Regardless of what it is, they may have gone and like watched and probably just gone, okay, fine, we'll leave them to it. The way that they were putting out the fire was quite nice. I mean, apart from like slicing open walkers to drain blood onto things, which is one of the ones that Carol did.
Which
is certainly a creative way of doing it. They seem to be using, pesticide sprayers, were what they appeared to mainly be using. That seems to be the things, the water backpack things are kind of big pesticide sprayers, as far as I could tell. And they were using buckets of water and stuff. So that was quite cool. And they were digging trenches to kind of to redirect the fire, which is how they deal with forest fires and stuff. I thought this was quite a nice set piece. Of course, Eugene wants to recover the technology. I did wonder if, as they're trying to recover the technology, maybe that was when Alpha was going to show up, but no, still nothing. It was all handled reasonably well, and there was a reasonable amount of tension there, because you have this kind of thing of, well, we know the Whisperers are around, so are they going to kind of just show up in the middle of them doing this and get them into trouble?
A couple of interesting set pieces within that as well, like Daryl throwing this thing at the tree and that falling down, and you've got did they do another Michonne montage as well of her
I think so, yes.
Zombies. So I think there's like three of them in this episode, which, you know, I'm not complaining, they're very, very good. So you had that.
On Talking Dead, the axe throwing at the tree, they actually said on Talking Dead, apparently Norman actually did that and hit the mark with the axe, and he was like really excited about the fact that he did it, and they turned to the camera afterwards and go, did you see that? It was like, yeah, dude, we were filming it. Yeah, of course we did.
at least they got the shot, otherwise that would be a big waste. Interesting stuff. But yeah, that's pretty cool. So obviously they're still using Daryl as like a, you know, big main set piece kind of character, which makes sense. Yes. He's the leading man essentially of the show. Making the characters busy is always kind of a good thing, in terms of, you know, they got to put out the fires and the walkers come, and then they have to deal with both at the same time. So yeah, good stuff from that. So
yeah.
And in terms of Eugene's stuff, it makes sense, obviously, with him being the sciencey guy and him saying, you know, Michonne, I could use something from here. Like make something or whatever. You just never know quite what you might be able to do with stuff.
I mean, I knew the moment that Eugene got there, he was going to want to pull bits out of that satellite, regardless of, you know, how long they were going to have there. You just knew that Eugene was going to. I didn't know whether they were going to let him do it then, or whether it was going to be a case of him trying to sneak back and doing it and getting caught or something like that. But
then we'd have two episodes of Eugene getting caught.
Getting caught again. But I'm kind of glad that they did it in the way that they did it, and you know, they've got some new technology to play with, which is interesting, and again, maybe that leads to them being able to connect further. So who knows.
Luke speaks to Eugene at some point during all this chaos and everything, about like a what about radiation and stuff. Do you think we might see anyone get kind of sick? Because we saw Ezekiel have a bit of a reaction. I don't know if that was to the potential radiation or to like just the situation. But do you think there's any hint that someone might get sick? I'm not saying necessarily die, but someone might just get a little bit kind of sick.
I don't know. It was that was an odd one, that.
Yeah, because there was enough hints in there that it might happen.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I mean, yeah, technically there is radiation around it, but I, you know, unless there's kind of some sort of nuclear core in the middle of it, they're not necessarily going to be that bad. I don't really know enough about space radiation to be able to tell you whether how dangerous that is.
Yeah, just an interesting point, because obviously the Ezekiel thing and Jerry's obviously there. Jerry's always there for him. He's a great guy. So
yes.
You know, obviously Luke talking to Eugene about it. During the chaos, Carol wanders off, followed by Daryl, and again she talks about her wanderlust, her wanting to go out and explore certain things. He offers to go with her, but she refuses. As Daryl goes back to the others, Carol looks down into the nearby ravine and nearby forest and whatnot, and Alpha steps out of the woods and they look at each other.
Yes.
One kind of question, I don't know how realistic this it could have been. I wonder why Carol didn't just try and shoot her with a bow and arrow, or do you think that might have just created more danger?
Well, I think it would have created more danger, plus there was a lot of distance between the pair of them.
I suppose.
I mean, I think you would have had to have been... I mean, I know she's a good shot, but I don't know whether she's that much of a good shot. I mean, it would have been fairly easy, I think. If she pulled up a bow, Alpha would have been able to run out of the way, you know, reasonably easily, I would have thought.
Yeah.
It would have been a hell of a shot if she managed to get it from there. I did like, as I say, the Alpha kind of emerging from the woods like they've been hibernating. And yeah. She kind of wanders out and is like, oh, it's a lovely day. And, you know, he's kind of looking around and like yawns and then spots Carol. Mm. It's always one of the you two. It's like you should be in a classroom. Like, it's always you two. Because it was Daryl that basically got Glenn killed by overreacting when they're in the circle. And now you've got Carol going wandering off and being spotted by Alpha. So, yes, it's always one of them getting into trouble. So, that I think is obviously the event that is going to set Alpha off. Because the fact that, you know, they wandered away from that specific little bit of fire, which I think they would have been okay and left them to it had they all stayed around the fire. The fact that they wandered off towards the ravine, which the ravine was full of a horde, I think, last season, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, that's gone now. So
yeah.
She's moved it or whatever.
And they'd gone to look to see whether the horde was still there. Mm. And obviously it wasn't, but then Alpha kind of wanders out. So, yeah, And I sort of get the curiosity for going to look, but you have bloody Carol hanging around and not leaving when she should have done. And that could be potentially the thing that gets, you know, starts off a war, which is ridiculous, but there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tease, isn't it? Of like, okay, you probably want these two to fight, and obviously we'll see what happens in the future. Again, like, I know certain things from the comic, it doesn't mean all of them are going to happen. I just tell you what things might happen, or, you know, as spoiler-free as I can. But yeah, we'll see if they meet and fight, obviously. I know a lot of people probably want that. There's other characters that people want to fight Alpha, so, yeah, lots of people that want to fight Alpha at the moment, so...
Well, of course, yes.
Yeah, and Beta as well. So let's not forget about, Reinhardt in the show.
Yes.
And, some people said... that's like in the comic there's two fights with Negan and Beta and with Jesus, and Beta, obviously the Jesus one won't happen because he died, and the one with Negan and Beta, I think they've at least got to do one of those fights.
Well, you've got to
at some point.
I think the Jesus Beta fight is probably going to replace by a Daryl Beta fight, because you want a rematch there. And I think you are probably going to get a Negan Beta fight. In fact, I think they confirmed that on The Walking Dead, that you're certainly going to, a pair of them are going to meet. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, I suspect, get that as well, which would be quite cool. So I'm quite looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Some people pointed out, you know, Carol and Dan will go after this deer, and then it crosses this the Baron, obviously they have the disagreement about, like, should they go for it, should they not, and then the Walkers get it anyway. A lot of, I didn't really look at the deer that much because I was focused on, you know, Daryl and Carol. A lot of people said, like, oh, this is another bad CGI deer, because we had the one when Michonne and Rick were off near that,
right, yeah,
that carnival sort of thing last season. Did you notice anything about the deer?
I wasn't not really particularly. I didn't think it was particularly dodgy in any way. The only slightly dubious CGI I saw was on the slow motion shot of Michonne chopping people's heads, chopping zombie heads off on the beach. I think they slightly mistimed the final cut of one of the heads coming off, because I can swear that the head started to come off before the sword did. But, you know, apart from that, it's been fine, I think.
Okay. I didn't notice either of those two.
Yeah.
So. Cool. It's the end of the episode. Carol and Alpha are looking at each other. So, there you go. Of course, we'll see what happens in the next episode. But we have feedback and email, so let's get into those. Of course, you can send in your thoughts, feelings, concerns, obviously, about the show if you have any, or if you want to just get in contact with Entertainment Talk, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, there's the contact page and information in your show notes. Jerry says, I liked the season 10 preview. Well, thank you very much a lot. And what Matt teased, of course, because I teased a little something at the end. Could Matt possibly tease anything else spoiler free comic wise? I can't think of anything that's on the same importance level of what I teased without, like, giving too much away, because obviously I said, like, there might be there's going to be the scene everybody likes. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, or if it happens even in the same way or a different character, but outside of that, there's not any other really important scenes I can think of that I could spoiler free kind of tease. So
right,
that's all I can really give you from that. So, but yeah, look forward to the first one, because the first one hasn't happened yet, so we'll see when it does. Again, I couldn't tell you when, how it's going to happen, so we'll just have to wait. Lacey says, I feel like the audience was teased yet again with Daryl and Carol romance wise what are your thoughts? I mean, look, these two have been in this show for 10 seasons, and there's never, I mean, obviously they're very friendly with each other, they've known each other for years and all that, and they're good friends. There's never even been a romantic spark between them.
No.
And I know, obviously, a lot of people have said every season, like, oh, do you think Daryl and Carol will get together this season? I think specifically from Daryl's point of view, because obviously Carol's had relationships with people previously, Ezekiel and her own husband and whatnot in the past. Daryl's never shown any, you know, relationship interest with any character in the show.
No.
Let alone, like, Carol or, like, anybody. He's never shown any signs of any of that, because obviously we've had other relationships in the show, like Rick and Michonne and, you know, a whole number of other ones. Daryl's the one kind of character you can point out that has never shown any interest in any of that in any way.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to happen, and I think if it was going to, we've got to season 10 now, and sure, they're still great friends, we like seeing them in scenes together, and they're probably the two, well, Michonne's leaving and whatever, so we know that they're the two main leads, basically. So, yeah, do you think anything's ever going to happen? Because I don't think it will at this point.
No, I think they like that friend relationship. I'm not convinced that, you know, they clearly love each other very, very much. But I'm not entirely convinced that they're going to go full relationship at this point. Because I don't know. The sort of will they, won't they thing they've done for a very, very long time on many, many different shows. And it always falls to bits when you actually kind of push the two characters together in those sort of situations. So I kind of think that maybe not. Maybe, you know, I think it's probably safer to leave them as, you know, just really good friends and, you know, leave it at that. As you say, Daryl's never shown any romantic interest in anybody. Right. So,
because there was talk in, like, previous seasons about, like, oh, what about Daryl and Beth and those sorts of characters. Really, it's only ever been Beth and Carol that have been the two specific characters that have been mentioned. There was never any romantic stuff from Daryl towards Beth either. So, in terms of him just in that kind of way, he's never shown any interest in anything at all. So there you go. I mean, he's an interesting character to look at from different perspectives, and that's obviously one that, to be honest, hasn't actually really been explored in the show, because, like I said, there's never been anything shown there. So, yeah, I mean, Daryl's just still good old Daryl. So
yeah.
What else do we have? Natasha says, who do you think Alpha and Beta will kill next, and who is the least likely to die? Well, the least likely to die is Daryl and Carol.
Yeah, because and Carol. I think they still have contracts.
Right, sure, yeah. And, you know, in terms of the show's ratings, it would just drop even more if Daryl was killed off. So, in terms of ratings, by the way, it was 4 million. And it was a series low, but still 4 million and still AMC's biggest show. So
yeah, and those numbers don't tell everything, because AMC Premium, the streaming service, which you can buy, released the episode something like a week before.
Yeah.
So, and they haven't released numbers for that. And they've said, I mean, after they launched this last year before The Walking Dead, and they had a huge uptake for it. They've still not actually released exact numbers. They said they've also seen a spike this year. It wasn't as big as the spike they had last year, but they've still got very solid numbers for those. So whilst the live and, you know, live plus one numbers are down, that doesn't include any of the streaming service stuff, which is if you're a dedicated Walking Dead fan and you're going to want to see the episode as soon as possible, you're probably going to fork out like $9.99 a month or whatever it is for the AMC Premium, so you can get the episode early. And they're also releasing extended episodes, and they're releasing the episodes early. They're releasing extra bits. So, you know, an extra kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. So there is a load of things going on with that app that makes it worthwhile for Walking Dead fans to buy. And obviously we can't get it in the UK, but right. You rather think that any fans of The Walking Dead are probably...
Or like AMC fans as well. Like,
yeah.
I imagine there's other things on there.
Yeah, so. I imagine there is other stuff. But particularly The Walking Dead fans, given the extra stuff that they're plowing into The Walking Dead, are probably subscribing to that, and then those dedicated fan bases, you know, and there could be a few million on there that are being taken out of the actual live reported numbers. So although the numbers appear down, there is a couple of possible reasons for that, and that's been quite a major one of them. So you know, you can't just say, oh, it's doomed because of the fact that the numbers are down.
It's also not doomed because it's still AMC's biggest show, and if they cancel that, then cancel everything on your network. So I just mentioned that in terms of, you know, if Daryl did die, then the ratings probably would drop more, or people would watch and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
In terms of who's least likely to die is him, obviously. Who do you think Alpha and Beta will kill next? I mean, I hope it's a little bit of time before the two of them kill someone else, because we just had a bunch of people die. I really don't know. In terms of the next actual character death, like, included in that conversation, I really don't know. I mean, obviously, I know a couple of people that die in future comic book stuff, but outside of even those things, because obviously we can have different deaths and things like that, I really am not sure. Who do you think might go next?
I don't know.
I think it's a little bit too early in the season to maybe have that discussion, because we've just gotten settled back into, like, okay, what's everybody doing? So.
Yeah, I mean... It would make sense if somebody dies out of the love square group or love triangle group, whatever. Yeah, somebody going out of that would make sense. Ezekiel, possibly.
Right. He just skipped his comic book death as well.
So
did Rosita. So, because those were two in the book that were on the pipe.
I don't want to see Ezekiel die particularly. No. You know, I like that, and you know, I love Kari. Kari's fabulous, and I wouldn't, you know, as I said before, we've interviewed Kari and Cooper numerous times, and I really, really like talking to them. They're very, very funny together, and I kind of don't want Ezekiel and Jerry split up, because. A mopey Jerry wouldn't be fun to watch. So, I'd rather that didn't happen. But, So I think one out of that group of out of Sadiq and Gabriel and that group, maybe.
I think, yeah, either someone out of that or someone out of the Magna group, and I'd maybe point out like Luke or someone.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
So.
Well, we did talk about, I think last week, not all of them had got being made series regulars, so mm-hmm. you know, although that doesn't necessarily mean anything either, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it'll at least be a couple more episodes before someone dies. I mean, you might get like a red shirt that gets bitten or something, but that's not the same thing. So
yes.
Last email, Paul says, so what's the verdict on the Love Square? He says, bullshit. I think it's a huge waste of time for the now five characters involved. I mean, in terms of Dante's involved with the baby, obviously, because he's a doctor, but in terms of the Love Square, he's obviously not in that, but I see what Paul means. The five characters involved with the story, also seeing how Dante is involved, I think he means introduced. What's Matt's impressions of this on-screen comic character? We've really not seen that much. We got, what, a two-minute scene, if that
yeah.
was him? So, I mean, like you said, he comes across as kind of cocky and all that sort of stuff, but it's really too early to judge him at the moment. So maybe in a couple of weeks when things get started a bit more, we can start to guess more character deaths and what Dante's like and that sort of thing. But yeah, he's all right so far. Like you said, he did kind of literally come out of nowhere. Like he just walks around the corner and Sadiq's like, oh, hey, Dante.
That's it. There wasn't any big kind of, you know, if you think how we got introduced to somebody like Sadiq, mm-hmm. where it was kind of, you know, teased out and there was this big moment between him and Carl and that was sort of how he arrived. And like Dante's just like, oh, hey, Dante. You know, it's like, okay, fine. That was a little weird how they introduced him because we'd not seen him anywhere else. But, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like with Magna's group, we had obviously that was tied in with the big Judith age-up reveal and things like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't always have like a Negan introduction because that was one of the biggest introductions in the series. But yeah, just a bit weird of like, hey, I'm here, and then that's it, baby.
Yeah.
A little bit like I know they kind of had an introduction in the Batman v Superman, but you remember how like Aquaman and that are introduced to the Justice League is like, oh, I hear you talk to fish. Batman. It's a little bit like that of like, oh, I hear that you do this thing and hey, do you want to join this group? Sure. And it was pretty much that. So
yeah,
that's all the emails and conversation and things and bits and pieces we got to discuss for this episode. Again, if you liked this episode, if you didn't, if you want to discuss Walking Dead stuff or anything that Entertainment Talk does, matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, eTalkUK, there's a contact page and information in your show notes. We'll see how the next seven episodes go. We'll see. Is a question I've got. When do you think Michonne will leave?
I don't know. Yeah, either mid-season or maybe it will be around the sort of five episode mark. Maybe,
yeah.
You know, although they're not counting it down the way they did with Rick, you know, that would maybe make sense. Mm-hmm. Or it could be she hangs around, you know, for a bit longer until Maggie comes back. I don't know.
Yeah, I would be surprised if she sticks on longer than the mid-season finale, but then we don't know, like, what's necessarily going to happen with her, I suppose.
Yeah.
So,
We don't know whether she's going to get killed off, or we don't know whether she's... I mean, I hope not, but...
I don't think she'll get killed off. I actually think she'll join the second Rick film, because I think in terms of the first one, that's got to be focused on, okay, where's Rick? What's happened to him?
Yeah.
And one of the big things is what is his reason of not going back to the main group, of course. So you've got to focus on all that with the first film. And then maybe with the second one, Michonne comes in. That kind of makes sense. But again, we'll see how things play out. So yeah, again, if you have any thoughts and all that sort of stuff, let us know. And we will continue to, continue talking about the show. So, all right, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. You can, of course, find all the other content. We've got a bunch of stuff coming back and things that are still ongoing. So check out all the content, entertainmenttalk.org. If you want to know when your favorite shows are coming back or if they're coming back, because not everything does, and who's going to be in your favorite shows casting-wise or who's going to be in your favorite films casting-wise, David's got you covered on geektown.co.uk and, of course, on Geek Town Radio. And as David did say, as we discussed at the end of this week's Geek Town Radio, we will be covering Watchmen. Yes. So look out this, in a week's time, look out in a week's time for the Watchmen Season 1 preview podcast. Of course, it's going to be a very different show for us to cover. We're going to record Walking Dead first, then record Watchmen after. So expect the Walking Dead podcast first, and then we'll do, obviously for episode 2, and then we'll do Watchmen preview after that. So look out for that. And that's all the stuff for that. So geektown.co.uk, Geektown Radio, of course, listen to all that good stuff. If you want to support the podcast, support Entertainment Talk, we are on Patreon. We also have an Amazon affiliate link. We're also on iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us. If you tap the subscribe button and then tap on the star rating, that will help us out as well. And word of mouth, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people talking about The Walking Dead at the moment. The preview podcast did very, very, very well. So thank you all very much to everyone who's listened. I don't know how many people will come back for the first episode because you can't make everybody come back. But if you've come back for the first episode, thank you very much for listening to it. And please enjoy the rest of everything else that we've got to discuss as well. But yeah, tell your friends, family, people that you know about the website and the iTunes feeds. If they play video games, watch TV, watch films, or unfortunately watch Man United, then let them know about all the podcasts that we do and all that good stuff. You can share them on Facebook, retweet them on Twitter, put them in different Facebook groups. If you want to watch us play different video games, me and David stream on Twitch, Robert streams on Mixer, and look out for Let's Play Sundays. Last note as well, El Camino Breaking Bad podcast on Sunday. That's going to be very, very interesting. Just 2 days away until El Camino is out. So that's going to be crazy. Hasn't been on here for several years. So look out for that on Sunday as well. But that's enough from us today. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.